The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster. It is Friday, August the 16th, 2019. We're live weekdays during the noon hour on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening and a pretty incredible archive, if I do say so myself, of all of our programs at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith and his team over there do a great job with Tucson's online news service. Actually, Dylan is going to be hosting, sitting in this chair a week from today as my wife and I head off to someplace cool like Vancouver Island, Canada. Get a little cool air. The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, that's Dan Shear's group. We thank them for their support. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Later in today's show, we'll hear from the Weekly's executive editor, Jim Nintzel. Our Friday Focus interview today, Barbara Coffey is with us in studio. Barbara is the City of Tucson Economic Development Director. Barbara, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me here today.
Barbara Coffey joined the city last winter after serving as head of economic development in Henderson, Nevada, in the Las Vegas Valley. She played a major role in landing some big deals for the city of Henderson, including agreements with Haas Automation, the headquarters for the NFL's now Las Vegas Raiders. So they're going to be headquartered in Henderson for their practice field and their business offices. And the new stadium is going up in the city of Las Vegas.
In the county, right, on the strip. And so we'll have that office in Henderson. I know the team is very happy to have them there. They just did the topping off ceremony, yeah. So that's moving forward. So
that's a huge deal. And then Las Vegas getting its, of course, the Raiders, the second in kind of the crown jewel of professional sports, making, you know, when a city has, when you've got NHL hockey, National Hockey League, and they've got the Vegas Golden Knights, and now the Raiders, the four pieces of that, of course, would be if Las Vegas were to get an NBA team, and that's certainly not out of the question.
It's possible.
Yeah, and then baseball. Mm-hmm. So those would be the four things. But anyway, about the Golden Knights, they are doing a hockey facility, a practice rink, again in Henderson.
That's right, in the downtown. So part of the redevelopment efforts there that we were leading and where the government complex sits right in the middle of the main street there downtown, we decided to convert what was the convention center into a practice rink, so ground-up construction, and the Golden Knights will have a presence there as well.
Barbara Coffey's been in economic development a long time. Before Henderson, she was in College Park, Georgia. I don't know where that is. I'm assuming it's a suburb of Atlanta?
It is Metro Atlanta. It's right where the airport is. So Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, really 70% of the airport sits in College Park.
Really?
It's a very busy place by day, small community by night, but it is one of the fourth largest historic districts in Georgia as well, and on the MARTA line. So it's very much metro and connected in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you started your career in economic development after a four-year career in radio.
That's right.
Behind the mic, so you're no stranger to that. But you were up in Goodyear, Arizona, so you've been around, and I think you did a short stint in downtown Houston with the Main Street program?
I had both urban and rural programs in Texas, and I was on the west end of the downtown with a corridor revitalization effort there in Houston, so that was another exciting time. This is a return to Arizona. So
let's welcome our teammate here. Joe Ferguson is with us. Joe is the political writer, and he also covers City Hall for the Arizona Daily Star. Don't you cover City Hall?
But thanks for having me on.
What else?
Anything you ask me to, any government, any size, I'm happy to write about it.
Including the 1 square mile city of South Tucson, which is kind of an interesting, this is really, I think that the county signed some kind of a deal.
They did.
About economic development to help them, right?
Right. The county is expanding the city of South Tucson's economic development team from zero to more than zero, and we'll be helping them with a giplet as well as some other opportunity zones that could be done in South Tucson to help revitalize South 4th and South 6th.
Well, they got an asset there.
And the nice thing is
the Greyhound Park, former Greyhound Park.
Yeah. And that we're all working together. And that's the nice thing, because there's a lot of cross-pollination between the county and the city right now. And so it brings in South Tucson. We're all at the table. And you mentioned opportunity zones. And that, in fact, is something we're working on, bringing more marketing emphasis to that so that we can actually invite investors with those qualified opportunity funds down to our area and to include South Tucson as well as the county sites and show them around. And so we're going to have some people on the ground for a familiarization tour of those zones in October.
So is it important that a city has its own economic development director when we have a regional umbrella known as Sun Corridor Inc.? How does all of that work?
No, that's a great point, and I'm glad you asked that. And as I always say, no one's as vested for the city like someone who is working for the city. And so it is my job to look at what's inside our jurisdictional boundaries and really increase our tax revenue base, right? It's all about enhancing our revenue base and creating opportunities and job creation that create economic prosperity in the city. So we all have our purview. So the county has its area, the region has all of our cities plus county and maybe other counties surrounding. So we all have different interests, but certainly work well together. It's just that we can take a more focused look and target programs that directly impact what we're doing.
Is downtown a big piece of what you're talking about?
It is, and I think downtown is always important when you're talking about a city growing and developing. I think what Tucson has been doing and laying the foundation in terms of what you're seeing today happening in downtown is super important in terms of strengthening the core, because what happens next is these things radiate outward, and you'll see that the edge neighborhoods then begin to experience that same kind of growth and start to flourish as well.
How about the tech park out at Rita Road? How does that fit in?
Those are great properties for us in terms of highlighting research and innovation activity and having the space to attract that kind of industry. And so I think very proactive approach with our partners, the University of Arizona and the Tech Parks team. I think with what they have on Rita Road and now with what we'll be doing at the bridges, very exciting, because we can promote that as a place for some of these large tech operations to locate and to be close in to what's happening and to take advantage of the talent that's coming out of the U of A.
We are gaining tech jobs, aren't we?
We are, and I think it's exciting to see Tucson sort of become listed on these number of rankings, where you see we're ranked for a place that's attractive to tech now, for people under 30, the hippest city, these kinds of things. We're showing up, and I think that speaks to the fact that we have arts and culture here. We have innovation here. We have an entrepreneurial ecosystem that is evolving in our downtown and from the work that's coming out of the U of A. And it's our job to foster that, encourage that, strengthen that so that we can continue, because that's what's going to bring those high wage jobs.
Yeah, we've gained it's a 90% increase, Joe, in 5 years in tech jobs. Got 15,000 tech jobs.
Well, it's impressive, especially considering, you know, only some of that came from some of those big companies that we write about. You know, there's a lot of jobs that are slipping through other ways.
Yeah, certainly a company like Raytheon is adding 1,900 jobs with expansions that they're doing, and that's good. We want that. But then we have small companies. We have companies, I think, of Freefall Moving Data and the innovation that they are working on and technology in the microwave space and things that are way over my head in terms of how to describe to you. But what I get excited about is that innovation is occurring, and they're choosing to stay here in Tucson to do that work. And that means they'll hire people. And so a company of 5 could become 10, could become 50 over time.
Right. One thing that my fine young friend Zach Yenser talked about, has talked about extensively, Zach does such a great job, 10 to noon, lead in here to the Buckmaster Show. Zach's very concerned. He's a millennial, and we've lost some millennials. It's not good news.
I think, you know, it always seems like, you know, you're graduating your talent, and then they look elsewhere for something.
Yeah, then they want to get out of Tucson.
So what we have to do is...
I hate to say this, but I did the same thing.
A lot of people...
In 1969, I kind of looked to different places, and maybe that's just part of kind of growing up.
It could be. It could be wanting that experience. I think the goal is that if we strengthen those industry clusters, that they would then have a variety of job opportunities to choose from. So it's choice, right? It comes down to... do they have enough choices and enough companies, enough people to talk to? Or if a government contract, say, exists with a large company and one day that contract goes away, is there a company across the street that they can put their software engineering skills to work at? So it's having that and feeling like you're confident, knowing that you'll have those opportunities around you. So that's the work we have to do.
Joe, you went to NAU, I believe.
No. I am a proud University of Arizona Wildcat.
What? Okay.
And
all right.
I went to high school here in Sarita High School, for a shout out to those living a little south from here. But I went away for about 7 years.
Well,
that, and
then I can use what I was going to say. Well, you know, you went to NAU and then you went to work at the paper up in Flagstaff. But actually, this work better.
It
you
does.
Went to the U of A.
I did.
And
probably.
You decided to leave. Was it just because the opportunity that you wanted to go to
work? I had a great opportunity up in Flagstaff.
And at the Arizona Sun.
Yep. Yeah. 7 years.
So that was, your whole thing was opportunity driven. And that's probably very typical, right, Barbara, of young people that...
I think it is. I think more and more people are looking at a place to live sometimes before a job opportunity, right? So they're choosing that maybe based on lifestyle and what they enjoy, you know, when they're not working, right? So, but here's the thing. I think Tucson's making strides with that. I think we are a place that is becoming very attractive in that regard. The arts, the culture, the entertainment, the lifestyle, the outdoor living, all of that attracts. And I think companies want to be in those kinds of places because they know the talent wants to be in those kind of places.
Yeah. All right. Barbara Coffey will stick around with us for a second segment on the Buckmaster Show. Joe, you know what I'm going to talk about next.
Our breakfast.
Yes, our breakfast today. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I've been talking about Mona's. They're such a great sponsor. Joe has heard me talking here on the show, and I always say to Joe, when are you going to get up to Mona's at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise? And today he actually was working on a story up in my neck of the woods, up in the foothills, and you decided, see what Bill's talking about.
I had to taste a few of their items, matter of fact.
Did you notice how busy they were? The place was packed
this
morning.
It was great. It was
great. Yeah.
Wonderful place to go. I didn't have to wait too long, and the food was great. There were more things there than I could possibly eat this morning.
But
so.
You did decide on the Kringle.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
And
oh,
they are.
My goodness.
Look,
Bob Dio just brought in the box of the Kringle, the beautiful pieces of the Kringle that I brought in this morning from Mona's. I've already had one. Barbara will probably have one after the show.
That's right.
You like bakery goods, right, Barbara?
It looks fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
there
going
you
to
go.
Have to get it.
You'll
in
have
Mona's.
To sample.
Absolutely.
Sample a piece. All right. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link at BuckmasterShow.com, a link not only to Mona's, but all of the great sponsors of this program. One of them is PieCorps, and we had Barbie Reuter here before the show today. She was with Zach. They've been a great sponsor as well of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back on 1030, the voice trusted local news talk.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026.
To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. Barbara Coffey is with us in studio. She is our Friday Focus interview. She's the City of Tucson's Economic Development Director. I believe Barbara started in February, or is it March?
It was the last week of February.
There you go. So It's about 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Right after your little snowstorm.
Oh, what a great day that was. That was so much fun. We're here. Joe Ferguson, by the way, also with us. If you're just joining us, Joe is, I'll say political writer. Why don't I just say writer at the Arizona Daily Star? Because it doesn't have to be political, does it, for you to write?
No, but that's
generally
probably a bulk of what I do nowadays.
Okay.
So.
I was sharing about the snow day.
That
was so much fun, because the Friday Focus interview that day was the mayor. Mm-hmm. Mayor Rothschild, Bob remembers, Bob Dio, engineer producer, and Bob had up on my screen here all of the delays out at the airport. I mean, I felt like I'm back in Chicago or something, like we're looking at O'Hare on a kind of snowy winter day or something. Delayed, new time, 1 o'clock. I mean, that kept changing, but I mean, that was incredible because, Barbara, they didn't have the particular chemical
right.
that was necessary, because normally we don't get all day snows. If it snows here, up like in Las Vegas. Yeah. Usually, because I remember in my days in Las Vegas, I was there 5 years, probably had two kind of snowy days. But those were, like Tucson's, usually overnight snows. This was a started in the morning and went till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That was kind of a Midwest snow day. Very weird.
Great.
So that was kind of like your first day.
Well,
or close.
I was getting ready to move. It was, it was that weekend I was headed this way. So, but all good, all good. And it's been a great 6 months and we're moving fast.
Are you settling in personally? What do you think of Tucson?
Oh, I love it. I mean,
you're from originally the Austin area.
So I love the West. Anywhere hot. Yeah. Enjoy the sunshine, and so that's great. And the beauty of this area is phenomenal. And so we're going to enjoy, I think, this coming fall and getting out and seeing a lot more.
What did you make some goals for yourself for kind of a 1 year goal for the city for your job?
So certainly I did. And we are looking at a variety of things. When I set up an economic development program in a city or really in what we're doing is reinvigorating the one here at the city of Tucson is, you know, we're looking in four different buckets for the most part. We're establishing efforts around business attraction, but also a very strong business retention and expansion program. So that's everything related to working with our existing industries and meeting with business owners about what they need. Then we have the third piece, small business and entrepreneurial development. So we're really working with organizations and resource partners that are can provide technical assistance and can help, again, build that ecosystem I mentioned. And the fourth thing is that redevelopment, revitalization effort. So everywhere that there may be an aging or declining area of the city, commercial nodes and corridors that are in decline, what can we do to breathe new life into those areas? And so those four things, and then we also have annexation under our responsibilities as well.
Joe, I can think of a couple of intersections.
Yeah.
You know probably what I'm going to say next, Grant
and
Alvernon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of ground zero for like needing a facelift and rebuilding. It's interesting, Barbara and Joe, because you have Grant and Alvernon very depressed, but then right next door, just to the south, is our beautiful and award-winning Tucson Botanical Gardens, which has been named one of the top 10 botanical gardens in North America. And when I go by that way, I drive down Alvernon on my way to work, that place is always packed. The parking lot is always packed during the week, whatever. So you've got this really nice area there in kind of a bad neighborhood, for want of a better word.
And that's what you've got to look at. What are the assets that are there and surround those areas that are challenged? And then how do we build on that? And so I think we're going to try to make strides in different areas, whether that is right now we have the Thrive in 05 activity going on, and that is the Oracle area, Miracle Mile.
05?
Thrive in the 05.
That's for the zip code.
That's
05.
That's right. So we have a planning effort, a Choice Neighborhoods grant that's going on that's being led by Housing and Community Development. But our economic development team gets involved because we like to bring the businesses together and help them understand the revitalization, because we know if we can strengthen a commercial corridor, that it will have a benefit to the adjacent neighborhoods around it. So you strengthen that business corridor and you get the people talking and the neighbors start talking to the businesses and they can support each other.
Joe, an area I think is really important, first impressions are important. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
When you arrive in Tucson, and I'm thinking of people that maybe are thinking of opening a business here, economic development, they arrive at the airport and they may not have a very favorable impression. Not of the airport. We have a great airport. Mm-hmm. They're one of our great partners here on the show, and I always love flying out of Tucson. But it's after you start transitioning into the city that you're going to perhaps see some things you might not like.
It's true. Yeah. It's important that we recognize that every city, you know, is faced with this. Image is everything. You know,
appeal.
Image is not optional.
I
say that. Yeah. And so that's very important because you only have one chance to make a first impression. So you absolutely want your visitors, and whether they're corporate or future residents, you want them, when they set feet on the ground here, to have that great first impression. And so coming from the airport to their hotel or to their family and friends, that needs to be a great experience. So I think we have some work to do, and I think that we'll get an alignment on that. We'll improve transportation, we'll improve connectivity, and all of that will help economic development.
Joe, any final thoughts here before we wrap it up?
Just want to put a shout out for all those big box stores and look forward to your plans on how to revitalize them. There's many in Midtown that need tenants.
So what is the plan for that?
We have to think about new uses, right? Because retail has changed dramatically.
Big time.
Right? So we have to get creative, and I think we will. I think we have to encourage our developers to rethink those centers as well and treat them differently so that they're more walkable, they're more pedestrian-friendly, and activated by a variety of uses.
Yeah, and I know Bob Dio, who grew up here. Bob, bring your mic over real quickly. Remember, Bob, back in the day, you know where I'm going with this about shopping centers, because I was here at the time when I was an undergraduate at the U of A back in 1960s. Elkhorn Mall. It was like one of the big time, almost a model for the Western United States.
And it was open. What a lot of people don't remember is the mall started open, and then the guy back east got the idea of enclosing it. But yeah, we did a lot of the demolition when they were.
So your family did a lot of the demolition.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Because before the mall was one of the grand hotels of the Southwest, the El Conquistador Hotel.
But we also did a lot of the demolition at El Con so that they could start to, if you remember, they had a west side and an east side to El Con. They had Levy's on the west side and then Montgomery Ward's on the east. And then they eventually combined.
Was Goldwater's there too? Goldwater's was late.
I think Goldwater's took Levy's place.
Oh, yeah. That was later. All right, but anyway, the whole thing has changed, Barbara and Joe. We're in this Amazon culture. People want stuff either the same day or the next day, and they don't want to deal with going out into the parking lots and the malls. But I do go sometimes walk around some of the malls, like the Tucson Mall, I was over there actually fairly recently, Tucson Mall. Many of the folks coming up from Mexico to do their shopping. So, I mean, there's still a place for the mall. It's just this transition that's going on now.
Right. And I think food and beverage will be really important. And creating experiences, right? Experiential retail is what we talk about as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Barbara Coffey, it was good to meet you officially here on the show. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Joe is ready to stick around. And already on the line is Jim Nintzel. Jim, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, and we have so much to talk about with the mayor's race and a former baseball player, Curt Schilling, thinking about running for Congress, right, Joe?
That's correct.
Do we know what congressional district yet?
We're thinking it's going to be District 1.
Ooh, now that gets into our neck of the woods. District 1, including parts of northern suburbs.
Moreno Valley, Northern Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curt Schilling. Wow. Are you a baseball fan, Barbara?
I like the Astros.
You like the Astros.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of into sports because you had to work with the Raiders and the hockey team. But anyway, how are we doing sports-wise? One quick final question with the Roadrunners, the hockey team.
Well, you know, I think
That's an economic deal.
Yeah. And I enjoyed a few Sugar Skulls games. That was quite fun.
Yeah, Joe likes the
Absolutely.
Sugar Skulls.
Absolutely. So I jumped right in. I think that's important. But I really think the Keno Sports Complex and the way that the county is revamping and adding additional fields and all the new mixed use that's going to surround that, that's a great vision, and that's going to be a great economic driver as well.
All right. Take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, Midway Point on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. Jim Nintzel waiting in the wings on the live line from his office at Tucson Local Media. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview now concluded. It's nice to meet Barbara Coffey, who is the new Economic Development Director for the city. Been on the job about 6 months. It is the Buckmaster Show on Friday, and we do begin with a Friday Focus interview. And normally we have one and sometimes two other news folks from town here. Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star was with me in studio for the interview with Ms. Coffey. And now joining us from taking a break from his busy duties with Tucson Media, Tucson Local Media, is Jim Nintzel. It's actually Tucson Local Media Group, to be specific, and they have a portfolio of publications, including the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me on. I'm very much looking forward. My friends in Calexico are doing a big show in the Rialto Theater tomorrow with their friends in Iron and Wine. Sold-out show. Looking forward to that weekend.
And before we talk about Kurt Schilling, and I think that's kind of what we were teasing about his run, Calexico, you've been a big fan, as I recall, since they emerged on the scene. Fill me in on that.
Oh, yeah. You know, they Joey Burns and John Convertino are really the spine of the band, the heart of the band. They play with a lot of other musicians. They're basically, you know, in the past have been a rhythm section for hire. They've gone out and played with a lot of different musicians, but they have their own core band. But earlier this year, they teamed up with Sam Bean from Iron and Wine and put out an album, a collaborative album with him, and they're touring with three members of Calexico, three members of Iron and Wine, and doing a whole mix of both the albums they've done together and their solo stuff. I think the Iron and Wine guys are picking Calexico songs, and the Calexico guys are picking Iron and Wine songs. And I think it's going to be a great show tomorrow night. And hopefully, you got a ticket.
Are they local people?
You know, Joey still lives here in town. John lives in El Paso right now. And then some of the other members of the band, you know, they range from Tucson all the way over to Spain and Germany.
Wow.
So it's a wide-ranging collective of musicians.
Do you follow them, Joe Ferguson?
Of course.
Okay, okay. What about Kurt Schilling? Joe had mentioned he thinks it might be CD1, and now that then becomes, for us, one of our local focuses, because we focus, Jim, as you know, on the three congressional districts here that are in our coverage area. What are you hearing? Why is Mr. Schilling getting into politics?
You know, this is something that he had flirted with in the past, considering a U.S. Senate run in Massachusetts, where his particular style of Republicanism probably wouldn't go over very well, although certainly we saw Scott Brown win there. But I don't think Scott Brown was quite as Trumpy as Kurt Schilling is. And so he backed out of that. And now somebody's been blowing some smoke up his who knows where, and has put this idea of running for Congress in Arizona in his head, where he thinks perhaps his platform would be more welcome. And, of course, Arizona has our 9 congressional seats, and 3 of them are very competitive. The district up in Phoenix, District 9, that Kirsten Sinema used to represent, Greg Stanton does now, plus our 2 down here, AZ02 and then AZ01, which is, of course, that sprawling district that includes both Oro Valley, and I think we're contractually obligated, right, to say sprawling whenever
I've said it certainly many times. One of America's largest congressional districts, actually outside of the state of Wyoming, I think it is the largest congressional district.
It may well be.
Yeah.
Although its predecessor was actually larger 10 years ago. But at any rate, you know, he's looking possibly at 01, where Tom O'Halloran is the Democrat who has, former Republican, former independent, now a Democrat, who has managed to stave off 2 very conservative opponents who had a variety of problems. So it would be a really fascinating matchup, because Kurt Schilling would bring a level of celebrity to this race that neither of O'Halloran's previous opponents had brought. But on the other hand, the voters there have gone with a more moderate Democrat rather than a bomb-throwing Republican in recent years. So it would certainly make for some interesting copy between now and then.
Go ahead, Joe.
Don't forget they elected Paul Gosar to his first term in Congress.
Mm.
Same area.
What about Colonel Rogers? Is she running again?
She is, but I believe she's running is it state Senate now?
Oh. Do you know anything about that, Jim?
She is. She's running for the legislature. You know, I think she's lost a race every 2 years for the last 10 years or so. And, you know, at some point you would imagine she complains a lot about professional politicians. And it appears as though she's becoming a professional politician, an unsuccessful one, but professional nonetheless, if you're running every 2 years.
Is it safe to say she's had a sprawling political career?
I think it is safe.
All right.
Toss around that comment.
Credit Bob Dio with that one. He told me that one in my ear. So let's talk about locally here as we come into the final days of voting. So you have to have, Joe, you have to have your mail-in ballot in the mail by the 21st. Is
yes.
that it?
Yeah, you
but
really
can
shouldn't.
You wait till Election Day, the 28th? Yeah.
27th.
Can you wait to drop it off somewhere?
Yeah, the city will have a couple places where you can drop off your ballot if you so choose to wait till the very last day, like I do.
Mm. Jim, this is getting kind of nasty, isn't it? Folks who live in the county, like we do, went to the mailboxes yesterday, and here is this, I guess you could say, kind of, it's a hit piece, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Joe and Jim.
Agreed.
Hit piece on Steve Farley. Why people getting it in the county?
It sounds like they had a sprawling list. that they were working off of when they mailed this thing, blanketing as much as they possibly can. Clearly, they felt like they had enough money that they didn't need to specifically target. You know, this has been a really fascinating race because the candidates themselves, and Joe might correct me on this, but I haven't seen a ton of differences in terms of policy. You know, they're not arguing over how we should use our CAP water or arguing about stopping out of control development or things of that nature.
Do you agree with that, Joe?
I do.
Joe agrees. Okay.
And so there's not a lot to separate the candidates in the minds of the voters in general. Other than, you know, secondary characteristics, it's going to be like gender issues. It may be a race thing that helps you make your choice. You like the idea of a Hispanic female being mayor of Tucson, or you don't. You know, like that idea, or maybe that's probably not something that necessarily drives supporters of the other candidates. I shouldn't say that, but at any rate, my point, I guess, is what I'm trying to say is that when people are making their choices, they're going to make them more on, oh, this person's record is, this is somebody I've worked with in the past, this is someone whose work I respect, or what have you. Or maybe you like an outsider, so you go with Randy Dorman versus Steve Farley or Raheena Romero. But what we've seen happen in the last couple of weeks is this flooding of these independent campaign efforts who are mostly boosting Raheena Romero in these races. And I think Tim over at the Star, Tim Steller, had a good column saying, you know, the whole idea of the city's campaign finance system was to get big money out of politics, was the idea that people would limit their spending. And one thing Raheena has tried to differentiate herself by saying is that she's the only candidate participating in this program, but I think that program is rapidly becoming a mockery of itself with all this extra money pouring into it. There's no limiting of spending. And a lot of these attacks by these third-party candidates are pretty hard to swallow, or third-party organizations, I should say. You know, the notion that Raheena is linked to Donald Trump is very silly, but the notion that Steve Farley is anti-education is equally silly, and we're just getting some pretty outrageous claims here in the final.
All right, Joe, weigh in, my friend. Yeah. It's 500,000 so far, $500,000.
Well, I think that means that our TVs are. Video players, I think, are also unsafe for the next 2 weeks. I think we're going to be bombarded in all different ways, not just in the mailbox.
This leads me to a question for Joe and Ninsel about, do these, Jim, and I've probably asked you every election cycle about this, do these hit pieces work?
You know, I think it depends on the race, and I think it depends on the accuracy of the piece and the style of the piece. This one's getting so negative and the claims so outrageous that I wouldn't be surprised if some voters out there are just kind of throwing up their hands and saying, I don't like either of these people anymore. I'm going to go with the third candidate in the race, Randy Dorman, who has not had a lot of negative campaigning going on right now. And so sometimes it really does accrue to the candidate who's not slinging mud. And sometimes the mudslinging is so dramatic that it turns people against a candidate. We remember, what was it, Bill, 20 years ago? That attorney general's race in the Republican primary where an outrageous mailer against one of the Republicans.
I remember.
Cost the person who sent that out the race. So it really just depends on the mailer, the response to the mailer, and all else.
What do you think, Joe?
I think that the worst is yet to come.
What do you mean the worst is yet to come?
I think that they've gotten ugly, but there's another 10 days ahead of us, and we can see even uglier mailers still produced, copied, and mailed out before the end is over.
Haven't most people voted already?
Well, about 35,000, I believe, is the last number I saw
that
voted.
If that would be like, that's a lot for a city election.
It's a lot for a pre-primary election where Republicans and independents may not choose to vote at all. So, but we'll see what happens.
And keeping in mind, I think the people who voted right off the bat were people who clearly had their minds made up. But and when you're just talking about the horse race, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to consultants involved in this, they were telling me the race was pretty neck and neck between Rahina and Steve, that it was about 30% each, about 10% for Randy, and the rest undecided, which is about 30% of the voters. And whether those voters cast a ballot or not remains to be seen. But obviously the argument is, as Joe pointed out, and as the more mailers are on their way, is to persuade those final voters. And one of the things that's going to be key here is just how well all these folks get the vote out in the final days.
Well, and I think that, I don't know, you gentlemen won't see it, but I live in the city, so certainly people have been knocking on my door. So I think there's a big ground game that's also being put out there on certain days, on certain topics. So,
well, maybe I will see it in the foothills. Maybe this
if they're walking up there at this time of the year, they're probably getting some good exercise. But not
maybe because they see this mailer, the list, they start knocking at doors in our neighborhood. That would really be weird, wouldn't it? So 20% voter turnout so far. So can we make a prediction as to what will the final percent be? What do you think, Joe?
I'll put it at
40?
No, I'll put it under 30.
Under 30.
Jim?
And Jim?
You know, it's very rare that we see major turnout in city elections, simply because they are in these off years, and in fact, the money's been pretty limited in the past until this year. I'm going to go somewhere around 1/3 of the voters will cast about.
I've only got about a minute left. How about Ward 1, Jim Nitzel, that race? That's going to be close, or what?
You know, that's one where, again, you know, you've got four candidates fighting for a very small number of voters. What are there, Joe, about 22,000 Democrats?
They figure that it's going to be somewhere around 6,000 to 8,000 voters are going to actually be involved in the Ward 1 race at the end of the day.
Right. So it's a small number, four candidates fighting for him. Rob Elias, though, has that magical last name, even though he hasn't been in politics before.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised to see him do well, but I don't think he's going to win the race.
What do you think, Joe?
I think he's got a good analysis. I think there are some major contenders with ties to the party, and we're going to see if they cancel each other out.
And then, gentlemen, you know what we'll be turning to after this exciting city race. Then the focus becomes, you know it, Joe.
Sanctuary cities.
Yep. Right, Jim Nitzel?
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to be the major next battle. And, you know, they got that shot in the arm with the green shirt guy going viral last week. That's helped their fundraising tremendously. I would not be surprised, however, given the reluctance of any of the mayoral candidates, of the Tucson City Council. There's obviously a lot of Democrats who don't like this. Republicans are obviously not going to like it. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a pretty big money campaign roll in against this. So we'll see whether the sanctuary folks can raise enough money to really get their message out.
Okay. Joe, do you agree with that?
I do.
Okay. Joe Ferguson, anything coming up you want to mention about the Star?
We're working on a piece just reminding voters about how to recycle. There is a new viral video out there explaining how to recycle here in town. And so we're going to talk about it as the city shifts to twice a month recycling.
All right. That's coming up in the Star. Anything you have, Jim?
We're still recycling?
We are.
I didn't even know. I thought they called that whole thing off.
The look of the weekly is looking really nice. You have some new people down there or what?
I do. We have some we have my old friend Hector Acuña.
Who
was our art director for many years back in the 1990s, who has filling in right now, helping us out through a transition period, and I'm really happy with the way the paper's looking. Next week we have a big back to school celebration, as well as a preview of the HOCO Festival.
Okay.
Coming up Labor Day weekend. It's going to be spectacular downtown.
Okay. Give my regards to everyone there on your staff. Thank you.
Sure will.
Jim Nitzel, the Tucson Weekly, Joe Ferguson, the Star. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Matt Russell coming up next from Inside Tucson Business. with Weekend Watch.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Here we go, baby. Stir it up. It means Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Oh, my goodness. What a great getaway. 3-hour drive from Tucson. Yesterday, Bob put up on the screen the temperature, current temperature in Silver City. During the noon hour yesterday, it was 83 degrees. So there's a reason in itself to head over to Silver City. It's going to be cooler with that great mile-high climate. SouthwestNewMexico.org for the listing of many great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. Let's go now to Matt Russell. Matt, do you have a happy hour pick right off the bat?
I sure do, Bill. You know, if you're a wine person like I am, you need to know about happy hour at Hermano's on 4th Avenue. Now, they have a fun way of celebrating happy hour where 6 is the magic number. All wines by the glass for only $6 until 6 p.m. And, Bill, there's more than 25 premium wines by the glass to choose from, representing all the great regions of the world. Some wonderful things to pair with those wines is, too, one of the great menus in Tucson. Happy hour is happening now at Hermano's until 6 o'clock.
Another Weekend Watch, another opening.
And if you are a fan of Turkish cuisine, you have reason to rejoice tonight. It's the grand opening of Istanbul Mediterranean Cuisine in the old spot that used to be May's Counter on Speedway near Country Club. Now, these guys are dishing out some great Mediterranean-style food, pitas and sandwiches and grilled wraps and kebabs, of course, plus some Turkish beer and Turkish cocktails.
Oh, boy.
Now, I hear that the owner's family actually comes from Turkey, where he worked in the food industry, so expect nothing but authenticity when they open tonight at Istanbul.
Yeah, I'll stop by when I'm over at Casa Video. Great location.
Right on.
What's going on with Three Sisters?
Yeah, you know, you might have heard of the Holy Trinity in New Orleans cooking, which is celery and onions and bell peppers. Well, the Sonoran Desert has our own version called the Three Sisters. Now, these are corn and beans and squash, and several local chefs are going to be showcasing how these sisters can be imaginatively incorporated into brunch at an event tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the Lodge at Ventana Canyon. Along with food samples, there's going to be live music and beer, even a Bloody Mary bar to complete the brunch experience. All for just $45.
Inside Tucson Business Column.
It's official. The rum that's just been named the world's best is distilled right here in Southern Arizona. If you could believe it, my story about the distiller who is now a worldwide spirits celebrity is in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend, Matt. Thank you.
Back at you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, Bob Dio, my engineer producer, and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us say, have a great weekend, everybody.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, The Voice.